Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
All this rain is having a really unfortunate impact in the Merrimack Valley, where sewage systems are so overwhelmed that towns are having to dump raw sewage into the Merrimack River. Hundreds of millions of gallons of raw sewage. To understand why this is happening and what it means for the health of the river and the towns that line it, we turn to Rusty Russell. He's the executive director of the Merrimack Valley Watershed Council. Rusty, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Evan. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to sit across from you. Also on the line with us is Robert Ward. He's deputy director of the Department of Public Works for the city of Haverhill, heading up the water and wastewater divisions. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, Evan. It's good to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And I want to start with you, Robert. Well, why do cities like Haverhill, Fitchburg, Lawrence, Lowell, why do they discharge sewage into the river?
Well, it goes back to the old sewer systems. All the older communities that you just mentioned have combined sewer systems. And what that means is that the pipes in the streets were designed to carry sewer, and they were designed to carry the stormwater from the catch basins and the streets and sump pumps and roof drains and all those types of things. So when they designed them like that many years ago, the pipes, you get a heavy rainstorm, the pipes become inundated, and they actually, on purpose, designed combined sewer overflows to relieve those pipes so that you wouldn't get that combined sewer and stormwater backing up in the streets, backing up into the basements of businesses and houses and things like that.
So at some point, you face a choice. You know, you're inundated, you can't treat everything. Either have to release it into the river, or you have to let it back up through the system into people's houses, into the streets.
Correct, yeah.
So how often does it happen? Is it just an emergency condition? Is it a regular course of action?
Well, it's I guess you could call it during a heavy rain event. It's sort of a normal course of action during a heavy rain event. There's really no way around it. As you mentioned, you have a choice. You either let it back up in the streets and businesses and houses, or you let it overflow into, in our case, we have the Little River and the Merrimack River.
Rusty,
keep in mind, too, that most it's mostly stormwater.
It's not mostly sewage. It's mostly stormwater.
Correct.
Okay. But there's sewage with it because they get mixed together.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. They get mixed together in this one system. But Rusty, what's your sense of the impact when this happens?
Well, the impact is multiple, and it's potentially very serious. I mean, the real problem, immediate problem with combined sewer overflows is the threat they pose to human health. I mean, raw sewage, whether it's raw sewage mixed with stormwater. Stormwater, by the way, is also polluted, too. It's not clean. It's stuff that runs off driveways and roads. So,
because it picks up things as it
gets things like chewing gum or things that might come out of dogs, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Things that might come out of dogs.
Yeah. Okay. For example. And, that's a problem, too. But, basically what you have is this stew of bacteria, viruses, and protozoans that have the potential to, cause hepatitis, cause major gastrointestinal disease, and other things. So, that's what you've got with raw sewage. It's a health problem, and it's even a health problem for dogs. We have some evidence that dogs are, that they're getting disease by being in contact with the Merrimack.
And I'll ask Robert, just for you, is it also a problem for downstream cities? Like every town is downstream of somebody else, right? So if one town is dumping sewage into the river, does that get treated before it gets into the drinking water of the next town?
Well, if a town pulls drinking water from the river, they're going to have a treatment plant for that.
Okay, so that's not where the biggest area of concern is. Rusty, can I ask you what can be done to prevent this from happening?
Well, that's a really good question that a lot of people have asked, particularly people who are just finding out that we're dumping. This year, it could be up to 750 million gallons of raw sewage into the river from the six sewage treatment plants that have combined sewer systems that they serve. So that's a significant amount. That may be the largest amount in 10 years. What we can do
is... So it's not just a big number. It's relative to recent years, it's a significant amount.
It's a huge number. This is a very rainy year, and we're seeing, the proceeds of that in the form of much higher sewage spills and climate change is probably going to exacerbate that over time. But over time, what needs to happen, and all of these sewage systems are under federal, essentially federal consent decree or EPA order, are required to clean up their systems to meet the requirements of the 1972 Clean Water Act. So,
right, that law is 50 years old, or nearly.
Come to think of it, yeah.
Very nearly 50 years old.
Yeah, almost as old as I am. Yeah, and it required that the nation's waters be clean and swimmable and fishable, I believe, in 1983. That hasn't quite happened yet. The issue right now is that those court orders really allow the plants, you know, between 10, 15, 25, 30 years to clean up their act. And we've got some evidence at the moment from talking to EPA that they've kind of come to a standstill. So we're concerned that even under the fairly relaxed timelines that they've been given, action is not taking place. And in the context of climate change causing more rain, causing more sewage overflows, that's, you know, getting close to a very problematic state.
So Robert, let me ask you, how expensive would it be for a city like Haverhill to overhaul its system so these overflows didn't happen, whether you set up tanks?
Well, we've already been at it for a long time. The city in Haverhill, we've spent over the last 15 years, we've spent about $25 million on CSOs. I know other communities, Lowell and Manchester, I think have spent a lot more than that in the past 10, 15, 20 years. What's on tap for us in the near future is we're just selecting an engineer and getting them on board to start our next phase of CSO reduction, and that's probably going to be done within 5 to 7 years, and that's probably going to be in the $15 to $20 million range. So the solutions to these problems are not cheap. They're expected by the state and federal government to be paid for by the ratepayers. You know, these are the same people that are having to pay for, you know, in Haverhill where we're upgrading our water treatment plant for $42 million.
And Robert, that's the model. There's a
police, fire, school, all those types of things. So it's really we're trying to move forward. I think we all agree that nobody wants combined sewer overflows going into the river, but it's a matter of, you know, you got to pay for it, and these fixes are extremely expensive and, you know, heavy construction.
And just so I'm understanding, that's the model. The federal government has mandates connected to the Clean Water Act, but the money doesn't come from federal or state aid. You're saying it has to come directly from ratepayers, those paying for water services in town?
Correct.
Or there is insufficient money from federal or state sources?
Right. We get some help from the state and federal government in the form of low-interest loans, but they're loans, and, you know, they have to be paid back
with money that you raise later.
Yeah, and we've already increased rates over the last 10 years pretty substantially to pay for CSOs, and, you know, we're going to see some substantial rate increases in the next few years to pay for this next phase that's coming down the line.
So, Rusty, what would you like to see happen in terms of helping these communities solve this problem for everybody?
Well, we have a short-term solution, a long-term solution. Our short-term solution isn't really a solution for the raw sewage dumping. It's a solution for notifying the public that it's happening in real time, which isn't right now happening really.
Wait, we've been talking about the problem of the sewage dumping. You're saying there's a separate problem, which is even when the sewage gets dumped, people don't know about it?
That's correct. In some cases, they don't know about it at all. The worst offender on the river is actually not Haverhill. I know Bob, and I've worked with him, and he's doing a great job. And I like to think of people who run sewage plants as being, you know, prime environmentalists. I mean, they're really safeguarding.
They're on the front lines.
Yes, they are on the front lines, and it's not an easy job. So I want to make that clear. But the biggest offender is the Manchester, New Hampshire sewage treatment plant that dumps, you know, up 300 to 400 million gallons of sewage into the river a year. They report their results publicly only once a year on January 15th. So you
don't know.
You don't
day
know
by
what's
day,
going
week
on.
By week, what they're doing.
Right. You know, other plants have different protocols, but nobody's really reporting this publicly in a way that, you know, people can get at the data right away. And the sewage, the bacteria stays in the river for 48 to 72 hours after a sewage dump. And, you know, in the summer, you have a rainstorm, you have a combined sewer overflow, the sun comes out, it's great out, everybody wants to be out in the river.
Swimming or
boating. That is a time when you should not be out in the river. So that's the short term. There is legislation in Massachusetts that we're hoping gets passed soon that will provide for a system like that.
Though you say in Massachusetts, yeah. They couldn't compel New Hampshire.
No, they could not. And so we're going to have to work on New Hampshire. I mean, it's, as you say, everybody's downstream from someone.
Yeah. Robert, can I ask, does the city of Haverhill support a notification bill?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Right now, where we have a notification requirement to notify downstream within 24 hours. And we do it by email. We have a very, very lengthy email list. And we also, if somebody wants us to add them to the list, you know, we'd certainly add them to the list. But I think that what Rusty says makes sense about, you know, notifying the public downstream of what's going on. It's just a matter of, you know, what's the goal here? What do we want to accomplish? And then how do we go about doing it?
And Rusty,
and every system is different. And, you know, sometimes things are more difficult with in certain systems as opposed to others. You know, our CSO flow meters are, it's very difficult to have report volumes within a couple weeks.
So there are limits to what you can do in terms of notification. But Rusty, you said that notification was the first part. What's the second part?
The second part is increasing funding from state and federal agencies. And I know that feels like pie in the sky now, but, you know, I'm on board with Bob Ward and with the other sewage treatment plants to say we have to push for that. I mean, what happened is these sewage systems were built 150 years ago when they were built to serve the huge industries that were in these older mill communities. Well, the industries left a long time ago, and, you know, they're not wealthy communities now, and yet they're left holding the bag. The Clean Water Act in 72 essentially funded up to about 85% using federal money our current sewage infrastructure, the sewage treatment plants you see, but they did not fund dealing with the combined sewer systems. So, you know, I'm with Bob. We have to get some more money.
There has to be additional money.
And we've been, you know, talking to Ed Markey's office and others, but, you know, it's going to be an argument we're not going to win in a week or two.
That's Rusty Russell. He's the executive director of the Merrimack Valley Watershed Council. Thanks, Rusty.
Thanks,
and
Evan.
Robert Ward, deputy director of the Department of Public Works for the City of Haverhill, heading up the water and wastewater divisions. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Evan Horowitz, and this is Radio Boston.